When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, Ram fans. This is Rams Up, your favorite LA Rams podcast. We are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. That's fansfirstsports.com. You can also follow us on YouTube. Our channel is at LA Rams Up. I'm your host, Mark. You'll hear from my co-host, Tom, on occasion as well. Hey, we're not Rams insiders. We're just longtime fans who love talking about our Los Angeles Rams. Let's get to it. Hey everybody, Mark from Rams Up here, and this is our post-draft, day one post-draft discussion. Rams have made their pick, and I got Scott Richmond on board, and we may have some other people joining too. How you doing, Scott? How you feeling? How you feeling about this draft pick they made?
Feeling pretty positive so far after the picking in the first round for the first time in a few years.
Yeah, I can't remember. I know you and I discussed Jared Verse, and I'm sure all you Ram fans know the Rams selected Jared Verse, the edge rusher out of Florida State, the 19th pick overall. I know that early on, Paul and I zeroed in on him in some of our mock drafts, and then we flexed to other players, tried to try different approaches. But are you a fan of Jared Verse? I don't recall what your position on him was.
I'm kind of twofold. I like him as a player, but as far as Rams with a 3-4 using outside linebackers, I don't see him being a complete outside linebacker. He's a great power rusher, and I think for where they picked with the Latu and Dallas Turner already gone, he was the best of the three available. So,
oh yeah, right.
I was pretty happy with it at that point. The only thing up till this point, I've commented on social media a few times that it was important for me to say I do like the pick. However, there's a caveat that the Rams coaching, I think they're going to have to scheme some things in order to keep him out of coverage, because that was not his strong suit. And if they didn't like Michael Hoyt playing in coverage as an outside linebacker, then
it's starting to ring a bell.
Yeah.
Now I remember what your position on him. Hey, Paul's joining. Let me add him here. Hey, Paul, what's going on? You there?
What's going on? Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, I know I was talking to Scott about Jared Verse, and I think we had discussed him when the three of us were on doing our mock draft, and Scott likes the pick, a little concerned about his ability in coverage. But the way I look at it is the draft kind of fell to the Rams in a good way, right?
Well, Verse was my guy. You could see the smile on my face. So,
yeah, if I remember correctly, we did 14 mock drafts. You weren't on all of them, but altogether we did 14 mock drafts on the on Rams Up, and I'm pretty sure the first couple we zeroed in on Jared Verse as maybe the most likely. Good fit, a guy that is realistically going to fall to the Rams and would be a good fit, or a fit a need anyways.
And when we mocked, he was never available. So
yeah, right.
So this to me was when people look back, this is just my opinion. When people look back, this is the steal of the draft. To get Jared Verse at 19, who is probably one of maybe two linebackers in the, if you were to rank the linebackers that could play the strong side, he's clearly the top strong side linebacker in this draft.
Now, Scott has a concern about his ability in coverage.
Yeah. Well, that's the one thing that's always been said about him. But, you know, listen, when you're drafting Jared Verse, if you're drafting him because you want to scheme him for coverage, then you got to fire that defensive coordinator immediately, right? Because that's exactly not why you're bringing this guy in. This guy has two jobs. His job, number one, is to get after the quarterback, and number two, to cave in that left side.
I think I garnered from the short discussions about him in the interview is he works his butt off.
He is beloved by his teammates. He is seen as the defensive lead. Now remember, also, shout out to Jared Verse. Where did he come from? Right, he's an Ohio kid that went to SUNY Albany, right here in New York, upstate New York. So he's been at Florida State for 2 years, remarkably consistent. 9 sacks the year prior, 9 sacks this year.
Scott, when we got to that 19th pick, is there any other player you thought they should have taken?
With knowing McVay, I thought there was an outside chance they might go with Brian E2J? Thomas Jr. Yeah. I thought there was a chance there. Outside shot of Newton, the defensive tackle. And probably a trade down when they decided to keep the pick. I thought Verse was a better than 50% shot.
Yeah, I was disappointed to see Murphy go to Seattle, that's for sure. But then Cincinnati took the offensive lineman that I don't think we had any interest in. And we all took a deep sigh of relief that the Rams, Rams had a couple cornerbacks on the board there, the wide receiver, and then Verse. And I think it was probably as that board was unfolding, I'm looking at Murphy, Latu, Turner was slipping. And then there was Verse. And then when you put Verse, Latu, and Turner all side by side, I think Verse is the surest thing, perhaps. Would you guys agree with that?
Well, Verse is the of that contingent. Verse is the most unique in that he is a true strong side backer. The others are more so. Latu plays on the strong side, but he's because of his size. But he is more good after the quarterback. Verse is more, he's physical. There are a lot of people that want Verse to be in an even front playing end, right? Yeah. Because of the physicality standpoint, right? And you know, like Scott mentioned, also he hasn't been asked to go into coverage, but the athleticism is there. If he has to go into coverage, I'm sure he would. You know, now and then to drop him into coverage. But, you know, he hasn't been asked to do that extensively. So,
yeah, the film on his bull rush was pretty impressive.
Yeah. That's so, why I was like, yes.
And I really prefer, I'm no expert. I'm not an X and O guys. I certainly don't know how to evaluate players like you guys, but I'll take a 260-pound edge rusher over a 245-pound edge rusher any day of the week. That's just how I feel about it. And that's why I liked Latu and Verse over Turner. But maybe history will prove me wrong.
But if you look at what McVay said at the press conference, this was their one primary need. And to be able to get that without executing a trade, right, for it to fall into your lap, you know, and you remember the last time we did the round table, I said with all this, you know, the logjam at quarterback, the logjam at wide receiver, the Rams can stand pat. We had talked about that. There's only two things they need to do, stand pat or move back.
Yeah.
I am telling you, if Verse had been taken and Murphy was off the board, they would have moved back.
Yeah. It's a bit of a dilemma when you're all these defensive players are falling to you and you want defense. It's a good thing is like, hey, you got your pick of five guys. But then it also, you know, there's this incentive to trade back like you're getting at because you trade back four or five spots, one of them's going to be there. But I have a feeling they really liked Verse all along. What do you think about these rumors about, you probably heard them today. Scott, did you hear about the rumor about the Rams making calls to move up into the top 10? Did you hear about that?
Yeah, and I think they probably overstated it because in addition to trading up to the top 10, they're probably looking at options to trade up only five spots or to even trade back. So I think they were just covering all their bases if they had a chance to get.
Yeah, that's just doing business. I think it's funny when they ask coaches and managers, you know, hey, would you move this player? Would you consider this? And if I'm a general manager, I'm considering everything. I'm always looking for ways to improve my team. No one's untouchable. Every single player on every roster in the league is someone you should be considering. Is this a guy that can help my team? But Brock Bowers, do you think that was a smokescreen? To me, it really didn't make sense. I'm sure he's a great player and I'd love to have him, but it just didn't make sense to me.
They probably were legitimately looking at Rome. They probably either couldn't find a trade partner or the asking price was too high. So that's probably what happened. But everything else, remember, this the way McVay and Snead have always held the draft, it's always been sort of very quiet, very sort of covert about everything. When they started making all these things overt and everybody was saying, oh, yeah, this is it. Look at they're doing this. They're doing that. Ram fans know that. Well, that's not how they operate. But I do think the interest in Rome was legit. I think they had it down to one player, probably Rome. Alt. They wanted to see Alt is a great pick. Fashanu would have been a great pick too, but
yeah, I did. I only saw one glimpse of the Rams draft room, and the one thing that struck me is it looked a lot more serious than years past. They just looked like they were all business. There was no jumping up and down. There was no, they just looked like they were focused and not gonna be criticizing anybody else's picks and not going to be doing jumping into swimming pools and hopefully.
Well, let's take a second, Ram Nation. Let's take a look at that room now. So you have strong side, you have Verse, right? On the other side, you have Monster Zero. Now you have Hoyt. Now as depth. But you also have O'Shawn Mathis as depth. And a couple of plays last year, O'Shawn Mathis really, he showed off the Jets. I don't know if, Scott, if you remember those two plays that he really showed off the Jets and forgot what team they were playing. But you got a little bit of depth there, man. So, it's really shaping up. That one area of specific weakness just got instantly better.
So, Scott, what do you think? What's the target for the second round pick? Do you have a position in mind, a player in mind? And I have a list I can share here in a minute. But before I share it, I thought I'd get your thoughts.
A couple of players that stick out would be, it's kind of against the Rams MO to value middle linebacker. But, if they could get Edgerrin Cooper, Texas A&M, he could really, really be a big chess piece as far as
he's on my list. He's on my list. So good call. Yeah. I still think, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I was going to say, he can be the off ball linebacker on second and third and long. You can bring him up and rush him, up the middle. You can put him on the edge. You can put him anywhere. Just kind of like the way the Cowboys use the kid from Penn State. I can't remember his name now.
Edge doesn't have to come off the field. You mean Michael Parson?
Yeah, Michael Parson. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Edge doesn't have to come off the field. Edge is that type of linebacker. He can do it all. He's physical. He can play the run. He can blitz.
Edgerrin Cooper? Are you talking about Cooper?
The middle linebacker from Texas, Sam. That's who you're referring to, correct?
Yeah, and in addition one of the two receivers, I really like McConkey and Pearsall, and I just really hated to see Pearsall go to the 49ers. That's the only time I cursed at the TV today.
Changing subjects here, though, what does that foretell something happening with Brandon Ayuk? I thought that was a strange pick. I mean, love the player, but it just seemed odd, did it not? They have some big needs on the offensive line. They've lost a lot of players to free agency. They have their two starters, Ayuk and Debo, and then they draft Pearsall. Do you think something's happening with Ayuk, Paul? You probably think so, right?
Yeah, so Ayuk has been very – I don't really follow the 49ers that closely, but from what I've heard and what I've seen on TV, he's been very vocal, overly vocal about wanting to get, you know, to move on and not being happy with the way things are being handled. So I think this might be a little bit of insurance if that does go south. I mean, also, if it does go south, the Niners probably in their best interest to move him and get something back rather than just let him walk away.
Yeah, I just don't know if anybody's going to. I mean, Ayuk's has a word to use the word great. He's a very, very good receiver. I don't know if anyone's going to want to pay him the money he's asking or that he's expecting. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but we'll have to see. That's the problem, you know, trading him. You're not going to get much back because the other team has to renegotiate a new contract with him, right? And sometimes these things, both sides lose. So, Paul, I took a little shot at you on the texting. Pac-12, huh? Really had a run there on the Pac-12 early.
Yeah.
They made a showing, a nice show. 14, they the did. First four, they did. First 14 players are offense. And to me, so this is what I was thinking on the run on quarterbacks. I know it's an important position, but some of these guys are getting overdrafted, right?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. And I thought the comment, I don't know if you heard the story about Sean Payton, where he was planning on drafting Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs stole Mahomes out from under him. I don't know if I think they traded up ahead of him, perhaps. And that's why they theorized he was drafting Bo Nix so early. To me, doesn't that translate to essentially panicking and worrying about, you know, something bad happening again? So you overreact and take, I mean, I actually like Bo Nix more than most, but I didn't see him as a first round quarterback. Did you see him as a first round quarterback, Scott? Where'd you have him?
I think he's borderline. I understand why they would take him. There really isn't, the drop off is considerable once you get beyond Nick. So I can see them reaching and taking him if that's their only option.
Yeah, everybody needs a quarterback. How'd you feel about that pick, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, this is a quarterback driven league. So to survive, you need a quarterback. So for a lot of these teams, you know, it's worth the gamble. Because if you hit, you're set. If you know, even if you miss, you just go back to the drawing board again. We've seen it. We've seen the carousel of quarterbacks in this league. But to win without a quarterback is almost—it's near impossible. What I thought was interesting was Penix with Kirk Cousins in the fold. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I know. I think everybody had Dallas Turner penciled in. Raheem Morris was going to draft Dallas Turner. Yeah. And the way it was framed on, I think I was watching ESPN at the time. I bounced back and forth between ESPN and NFL.com. They framed it as almost like a last-minute decision that they were kind of hemming and hawing. Oh, okay, let's go Penix. But, yeah, that was especially with a defensive-minded coach like that. And I don't follow the Falcons much, but I thought their biggest need was getting to the quarterback on the defensive side of the ball. So let's see. Let's talk about guys that might be on the Rams board here. Here, I'll go ahead and share this slide here, and I'll page through a couple. Well, let's just talk through this a little bit. Jared Verse, 6'4", 260. I saw him as the 11th ranked player on CBS. The one thing that we talked about is bull rush already, and apparently he has really good hands, just really strong punch that puts offensive linemen on the defensive, and just a hard worker. And so I read that he's a good run defender as well. Is that your guys' take on him too?
Yeah, he sets the edge very well, and that was what really stood out when you watch him play. He's very physical at the point of attack. He holds the edge. But you know, even when he's just bull rushing, you can just see it. He's relentless. And I think the play style, I know one of the scouting reports kept mentioning his temperament, but you know, he's definitely a leader. You know, he's one of those guys that you can just see the minute he walks up the bus, you know, like, who's good, who's the leader of the squad, right? You can just tell when they get off the bus. He's one of those guys. Great hand usage, and he's fast. He can still bend the edge.
Who was it that sent me the message? Was it you or Tom that one of the evaluators compared him to Dante Fowler?
Oh, that was Tom. That was a synopsis from, I think, NFL Network.
Right. That's a nice comparison.
Oh, from, yeah. In The Beast. It was from The Beast.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I say, the Rams should start putting the 55 on the jersey. Let him wear 55 because it's going to look great on him. The 5 is just a little too small. You can't wear 5. Right? Yeah,
the five makes them look faster, though, right? Is that who wears 5? Is that Tutu's number?
Tutu Atwell, yeah.
So, any final words on Jared versus Scott? You're overall really happy with the pick, huh?
Yeah, I'll tell you what's part of my opinion on him just changed. Watching a podcast with Ross Tucker, he has a Greg Cosell on Thursdays. And they do some draft review this past month, and they were talking about edge rushers, pass rushers, power rushers versus speed rushers. And what Ross Tucker said was, as an offensive lineman, power rushers gave him more of a problem. It gave him more to worry about. It gave him more to have to prepare for, as opposed to a speed rusher. He didn't have to worry about it as much. And Cosell kind of agreed with that. In addition, the speed to power can actually collapse the pocket sometimes faster and really cause the quarterback create pressure faster than waiting for the speed rusher to get around the edge, looping all the way around. So once I got thinking about that, I said, yeah, I go, Jared Verse would probably be a much better value than, let's say, the Dallas Turner if, Law 2 wasn't available. So.
Hey, Tom. Tom Quartz has joined us. What's going on, Tom?
Oh, he's still getting set up here.
That's all right. We'll move on to, let's talk about, what else do I have here? I wanted to talk about just some notes here. We already talked about a lot of this already. Sean Payton jumping up to take Knicks, 14 offensive players first. After that Colts pick, we had two cornerbacks, two edge, and Murphy's still on the board. So that's when I knew this draft was breaking in the Rams' favor, I think. But let's see. Do you agree with this, Paul? I don't know. I don't think any of these guys are going to be available when the Rams get to their pick at 52. But I think these are the top guys on the board. And Mel Kiper is all over Cooper DeJean.
Yeah.
And that's a guy we haven't really talked about. We've talked about Quinyon Mitchell and Tarion Arnold and some of those second and third round targets. We haven't really talked about Cooper DeJean much.
Yeah, Cooper DeJean would be a great scheme fit for the Rams, not just in, his ability to play corner, but, his natural position was safety. He actually came to Iowa to play safety and was playing safety. And then their cornerback room got hit with injuries, and then he moved to corner. So Go ahead.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he is just phenomenal in his understanding of zone coverage. He's a superior athlete. He's also a very dangerous kick returner. But he's a playmaker in every sense of the word. So if he were to play center field for the Rams, I could see that until he has to eventually play corner. But either way, if he started out playing safety for the Rams, I think it would be phenomenal for the Rams.
Yeah, and, Scott, you said that you were really disappointed when the 49ers picked Pearsall. I think I would have been more disappointed if they had drafted McConkey. Of course, Paul knows how I'm all in on Ladd McConkey.
That's Mark Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. I discovered him, by the way. No. Hey, Paul, Tom, you missed our discussion about Jared Verse. I'll remove this for a minute. You're pretty happy with the pick, I suppose.
Oh yeah, I'm thrilled with the pick. I mean, this is a guy who is kind of a late bloomer. I mean, this is such a guy in the Rams mold, you know, late bloomer. He was a kind of a track athlete. He was a tight end in high school and kind of, get, you know, couldn't get recruited. It was a zero star recruit out of high school, went to Albany and as a tight end. And the, with the opportunity to also play some defensive edge and just proved his worth there. Just that, you know, as that sprinter athlete that he is as an edge at that size, it makes such a difference to just get off the line of scrimmage with that quick burst. And then
the hand also, punch too.
Yeah. And then he's also developed the hand punch to go along with it. And that, you know, and then he grew a lot. Like he was only, you know, just over 200 pounds coming out of high school. And, you know, he grew a lot, developed a lot. And so he's just one of those athletes. He was a basketball player and some other things. So one of those multi-sport athletes that just has really come into his own. So I think it was a great pickup for the Rams and really excited about him.
Yeah, that was a good move by his dad to build that little gym for him in the garage. Smart move, Dad. It paid off. So we are going to talk a little bit about, let me get this back on here. We all know what the needs are, defensive line, edge, interior. We really need a little bit of everything, I guess, but we can take edge off the list, I think. I still think, now, Paul and I have been talking in all of our experimental mock drafts. I think we've come to the conclusion, I think Scott did too, that the best approach is edge and then defensive line. Is that how you're still feeling, Paul? There's some good defensive linemen that are going to be available at 52.
Yeah, there's going to be some really good defensive linemen. And I was just, you know, I had sent you a list, and of that list, three were already taken by the time we, from the time I sent the list, which was pick 26
right,
to now. Pearsall got picked, Morgan got picked, and Barton got picked.
Yeah.
Right? So there you go. But, you know, the list I still have is in no particular order. Jenkins, that would be my way to go. If Chris Jenkins is there, you know, that's what you want. Those two monsters together on that defense, you know, that's just a great way to go into the season.
Yeah. I could still see them going. There are so many good defensive linemen. I could see them waiting till the third round, though, and maybe going into your offensive line or safety or wide receiver. We'd all be excited. Are there some wide receivers you still like on the board, Scott, for that might still be there at 52?
I think McConkey would be my favorite. Maybe Adonai Mitchell, maybe the second after him.
I know you're not a big guy. Go ahead.
Yeah, and after that, not too much. I think I would be willing to wait till the middle rounds, you know, for somebody like McCaffrey.
Yeah, you're not a big Keon Coleman guy, right?
Not really. No, I don't.
I think the consensus on with Paul, I think Paul and Ian really liked him, but I think there's some concerns that he may be, you know, more of just a red zone guy could be the knock on him. But I built a little list. I started with the guys that some of the guys that Paul sent, and this is just a hack at, you know, the Rams apparently built these player pods, guys that they're zoning in on. And I built a little list here. You guys could possibly have 10 entirely different players, but those first four defensive linemen, I really like. Now Hall could last to the third round, but if they went Verse or Horo, it basically we've mocked that a couple of times, I think.
Yeah.
And if we've got Jenkins,
Aroro, we've got Hall, we've got Coleman. So I have Jenkins, Kingsley, the tackle from BYU, Coleman, Leggett, Rook, Cooper DeJean.
Leggett just went at the end of the
Xavier Leggett. Oh, he got picked at the last pick, right?
Right.
Yeah. So Leggett, so that's four off of the 10 that got picked. And then McConkey.
Tom, is there anybody that you would add to this list or take off, or how do you feel about it?
No, I just think it's a defensive line situation. I mean, with, you know, Jenkins there or But ultimately, I'm a more of a Newton guy. If he can
draw. Yeah, I didn't put him on this list because I left some guys off here that I just didn't think realistic were going to be there. Yeah, Newton was there, that would be awesome. But I did. Now the Rams could move up, trade up, and get him. Braden Fisk, of course, is.
Yeah, he's down there too.
Yeah, he's versus teammate. So
yeah,
yeah. And I got your Edgerrin Cooper there, Scott. So I did remember him. And then I included one safety, although I think the Rams would probably wait a little bit later for safety.
You also got Rekestraw. He's there, the kid from Mizzou. Yeah, he is super underrated. They have just stopped talking about him altogether. He had so much buzz in the beginning of the process. But he's a player. There's no question about it.
How would you have felt if the Rams had gotten Quinyon Mitchell? Would that have been? I was kind of excited about that prospect, even though I don't really see it as a need.
He's a great player. Terrion Arnold's a great player too. He was one of my favorites. Mark used to always say, "You're going to pick Terrion Arnold, aren't you?" But Arnold, was one of my favorites. But listen. This was the best case scenario for the Rams. Getting Verse was beyond best case scenario. You know, if it was like one in a million, this is exactly how it played out. It was like one in a million shot that Verse would just, without them having to move up, without them having to pull off any other trade. They also saved a lot of money. That dude from Cincinnati, Hendrickson, had asked for a move. Right, to get moved. And everybody was like, the Rams are going to trade for him, which I thought would have been great, but now they don't have to because they got Verse. They could now maybe make a move at another area, but this is just like rainbows and unicorns right now for the Rams.
Okay, so going into tomorrow, we're happy with the day one. I think the Rams had a good day. I think Seattle, I always look at the NFC West, focus on that. I think Seattle had a nice selection in Byron Murphy. Arizona's got so much draft capital. They're going to come out of this looking really good. And then I'm not so sure about the 49ers pick. Scott, what's your prediction for tomorrow before we wrap it up here? Do the Rams maybe try to move up? Do they hang tight, see what happens? And if they do,
I think it's going to be my gut is it's going to be either a trade up for, maybe Newton, the tackle. Maybe one of the receivers, an offensive player, or they're going to trade back and try to get, get a pick in the fourth round.
And that's right. They still need to add a pick in the fourth round. They got to figure that out. They can't go from the 99th pick to the 154th, I think it is. That's a long
time. I'll be surprised if they stand pat in the second round.
That's a long time to wait for a pick. Tom, what's your prediction for tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on how things fall. If there's a defensive lineman there that they like, some of the guys we just talked about, then I think they just take him. If those guys go, then maybe they do trade back and try and get some extra draft capital and load up.
Pick up that fourth rounder, maybe.
Yeah, I think some of those. I think Newton, Fisk, those kinds of guys, I think they would stick and take. I don't think they're going to move up for any of those guys, but I do think that they would move back and try and get a few more picks. And, like you're saying, fill in that huge gap in the fourth round.
How about you, Paul? Before you answer, you can start your answer by telling me, do you think Chris Jenkins will last to 52?
That's going to be close. But that's why they have, you got Jenkins, you got Rook. Newton. So I think you got Newton. So yeah. I think they got it. And Fisk, they got a chance. They're going to walk away with a great, and that's what they have to do. Second round, they're going to have to like fight the temptation of, if Keon Coleman is around, but they're going to have to fight that temptation and go with a solid beast mode defensive tackle that's going to be sitting there waiting for them. Any one of those four is going to make a huge, huge impact. And then third round, they got two picks in the third. they can get a legit wide receiver. I think you got Javon Baker, the touchdown maker. You got our buddy McCaffrey in the latter part of the third round. So they can definitely walk away with a nice wide receiver. They definitely are going to draft a wide. There's no way you're going to stop McVay from taking a wide receiver. It's just going to happen. They have to come to terms with that. But Marshawn Nealon is another defensive lineman that's still around too. So you got five sitting there. So the Rams, no, they don't have to make a move. They can just sit pat in round two. They're going to walk away with a defensive tackle that is going to make a very, very significant impact.
Yeah, it's a good year to be in need of defensive linemen. It really is. And
it is,
and that's why we, that's why we did all those mock drafts. It became more and more clear. And I think all the mock drafts we did with you, Scott, and with Paul, I think we really nailed it down pretty well. And it's so kind of,
what was it like for us Rams fans to finally see a first round draft pick after, what has it been, 8 years?
Since 2016, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, they did a little bit of ribbing of us on the but I think it's almost like a mark of pride to, you know, I don't mind being being ridiculed for not having a first round pick, given that
we've been an NFL record for most consecutive years without a first round pick.
I think that was discussed recently, and I think the Washington Redskins at the time had a streak that was the same or a little bit longer back in the day. And you remember, I don't know if you guys remember, you guys probably do. I know Tom probably does, and Paul. I don't know if Scott's old enough. You know, the Washington Redskins used to, they have some pretty famous trades back in their history. There was that big trade the Rams and the Redskins did. It was like a 12-player swap with Jack Pardee and all those guys. So, yeah, they went some years without a first-round pick, though.
I think the answer to the draft trivia is that, you're right, the Redskins did have a 12-year span.
12-year.
Without a first-round pick, and they broke the streak with a first-round pick with a guy by the name of Art Monk,
who
number 81 wide receiver,
a Hall of Famer. Yeah. So it's a good way to break a streak with a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Well, so then
Jared Verse is headed to the Hall of Fame.
Maybe
it's a little too early to pronounce Jared Verse a Hall of Famer. Paul, what's Verse's nickname? I mean, we have nicknames for all.
I got nicknames
for every draft pick except for the one that we picked.
I got to work on it. I have a couple, you know. I was thinking about it, you know, but man, I don't know. I got to come up with a good one for his. I had a couple, but they're not as like intense. They don't match his personality, so I got to work on one that matches his personality.
Okay.
As long as he wears 55, though, he's got to wear 55.
By the way, going off on a tangent, did you hear about Puka and his Nike deal?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That's a pretty exclusive club he's joining there.
Everybody loved him.
He's so marketable, though, man. He's just, you know, I mean, Nike, you know, they're about, you know, them. They're not just all about the athlete or their skill, right? They're about marketability and how much, you know, X factor they have personality-wise to sell shoes. And Puka's got it in spades.
Yeah, and how much does his Nike contract compare? How does it compare to his Rams contract, I wonder?
Right. Look at Terrion Arnold when he was working the crowd for Detroit. When he took the mic from the announcer and he was like getting the crowd pumped up. I mean, those type of players, man, that's exactly what you want. They bring the excitement. And that's, you know, this is entertainment, and you need players like that. And, you know, and Puka is just such a quality kid, man, just a quality, you know, person. So everything he does with a smile on his face. You know, everything he does, you know, is all about positivity.
I think he's got a different personality once he steps on.
Oh, yeah. When he steps on the field, he's all business, right?
Yeah, he's serious stuff. Yeah. You know, I lost Mark a little bit here.
Other than Jared Verse, going around the room, who do you guys think had the steal of the draft?
I mean, I think all those guys that everybody at the end just started piling on the best defensive players, just one by one by one.
Yeah.
You know, it's the rich get richer, in my opinion. And the poor in need of difference makers on offense are all going to suffer the consequences of the 50-50. You know, half the players are going to bomb and they're just going to get worse. So I don't know. It's hard to predict. Obviously, certainly I can't predict, and we can't predict who's going to be a bust. We can take our guesses, but statistics say that a lot of those guys will be busts. And it's just amazing to me that all the skill in the world in these draft rooms can't differentiate between a superstar and a bust. It's amazing.
Yeah. If you go back and look at years past drafts, and it's amazing how many players there are in the first round that you don't even remember. But I'll have to say, I don't know about the best steal of the draft. I don't know who's going to be a bust and who's going to be, you know, who's going to hit big, but you got to be excited if you're a Bears fan right now.
Yeah.
Got to be excited.
100%.
Yeah, yeah, and there's, you know, it may not turn out well, but man, enjoy it, because that's a big day if you're a Bear fan, and the Panther fans must be just crying tears, giving up that first round pick, and they're in a I don't know, I wouldn't be happy if I was a Panthers fan right
now.
That's
a decade's worth of you know, that's a decade's worth of, you know, just you know, bottom feeding that you just created for your franchise, yeah, by that last year's situation. So it's
right.
See, that's why I'm glad the Rams, you know, aren't messing around with that kind of stuff, right? They're all about the opposite. They're all about trading for proven players, getting rid of maybe players or hope for proven situations. And I'm all about that. This year they didn't do it. And but it is what it is.
All right. Any last words? Scott, did you get to answer the question? Who do you think, who was the steal or the bust of the first round? Paul was asking that. I think you,
I think the Eagles getting Quinyon Mitchell in the 20s, I thought that was a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that too, Scott. And I'm like, the rich get richer, man. These guys just, the bottom teams are just,
Detroit getting Arnold. Yeah.
Filling,
I thought, gap. One of the, another questionable pick for me might've been, was it the Cowboys that took Guyton?
Guyton. Yeah.
They need some help there though. But still I wasn't convinced he was a first round pick, but all right, guys. What I'm probably going to do, my plan is to do this again tomorrow night. I'll send out another invite. You're welcome to join. If not, I'll just roll by myself, but hopefully one or two of you will join, and we'll talk about hopefully one pick that the Rams make tomorrow. Maybe they'll make zero. Maybe they'll make a couple, but I'll send out an invite, and if you guys can join, that would be great.
That'd be fantastic.
All right. Go Rams, and thanks for joining. Good day for the Rams.
All right, go Rams. Horns up.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Come on, Chris Jenkins. Be there. Jenkins, right. Be there.
Yep, that's who I'm looking for, too. Okay, guys, thanks a lot.
Rip.
That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about our YouTube channel. Our handle is at larramsup.com. Till next time, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.